As I was driving back from Batesville last night, I was thinking about some things, and for some reason, the movie, which I haven't seen this movie, Heaven is for Real. Has anyone here seen this movie? Debbie has seen it.
Read the book.
You've read the book. Okay. Has anyone else read the book? Now, I don't know anything more about this movie other than that I've heard about it, and it's about this little boy that apparently, his dad is a pastor, I guess, in Nebraska, a small town in Nebraska, which isn't saying much because most towns in Nebraska are small, but he apparently went in for an emergency appendectomy, and, I mean, for all practical purposes, he died, but he pulled through somehow, and Sherry and Debbie, if I'm getting anything wrong, just correct me. But somehow or another, his parents were excited. He pulled through, he survived. And then, as it happened, I think it was a few months later, he began to recount some stories. And they're wondering, where did these things come from? And he was telling details that he shouldn't have known. There's no way he could have known. And basically the gist of it is, there's DDC Heaven. I mean, that's kind of what it's about. And I don't want to get into all the details. In fact, I have notes someplace, but I don't even know where they are. I can't seem to find anything this morning. I had notes about what I was going to say this morning. But I don't want to get into all the debates about can this even happen or what. Could it be and whatnot. But if I was to title a message this morning, it would be Jesus is for real. Because here's the thing. Do we need a four-year-old to tell us what he saw in heaven to really understand what heaven is? I hope not. Because we have it in the scriptures. Now, having a four-year-old say, yeah, I went, and he didn't apparently even know he went to heaven. He just telling me stories, and his parents kind of like, well, he must have actually been in heaven. Am I is that kind of what this is about? So he really didn't even know about this, what it was. But there's kind of this idea that, okay, well, now we have concrete evidence that heaven is for real. Well, what is our motivation for doing what we do? Do we do what we do because we're looking forward to heaven? Some do. I mean, there are missionaries, and I put those in air quotes, because there are missionaries who are doing missionary work for the purpose of getting into heaven or getting a better place in heaven. And I would say those are not Christian missionaries. Let me clarify that. That's not what Bob and Dottie are doing. It's not what the Faust are doing. That's not what Bobby's doing. That's not what the Martinez's are doing. But there are some who do because they think, well, I'm working for heaven. That's what I'm working for. There are some who give to the church because they're working for heaven. There are some who are baptized or do various things or try to live a good life because they're working for heaven. They believe that heaven is real and they want to go there. Muslims believe heaven is real and they want to go there. So what? What we care about, Jesus is for real. And I preach this every once in a while, because I think it's important for us to grasp this concept as Christians, to be reminded. That's one of the beauties of communion. It does remind us of the reality of Jesus. It, like I said, it's the one physical thing that we have, the one tangible thing that we have in our Christian life is communion, when we come together and celebrate the death and the resurrection of Christ, the sacrifice he made for us. But there is, in Acts chapter 7, this description. And it's interesting because, when we think about heaven, we think about being reunited with loved ones. Grandma right now is certainly, she longs to be in heaven. Don't we all, right? But Grandma, she longs to be there. She wants to go see Grandma. And we want that. We look forward to a mansion over a hilltop, right? I have a mansion over a hilltop. And we look forward to no more pain and suffering. Well, those are things that we long for in heaven. It's interesting that in Acts chapter 7, Stephen, if you're familiar with the story at all, he's a deacon in the church, very powerful evangelist, and he's been arrested because he's been accused by the Jewish religious leaders of having spoken against the law of Moses. And so Stephen is on trial, and he stands up, and he goes and he launches into this long sermon to these guys that are already ready to kill him. And we pick it up at verse 44. Our fathers had, this is towards the end of his sermon now, our fathers had the tent of witness in the wilderness, just as he who spoke to Moses directed him to make it, according to the pattern that he had seen. Our fathers, in turn, brought it in with Joshua when they dispossessed the nations that God drove out before our fathers. So it was until the days of David, who found favor in the sight of God and asked to find a dwelling place for God, for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built a house for him. Yet the Most High does not dwell in houses made by hands. As the prophet says, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, asked, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Did not my hand make all these things? And Stephen says, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the Righteous One, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. Now, what do you think the response would have been to that kind of an accusation from Stephen? Verse 54. Now when they heard those things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven. And what did he see? He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. They cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and they stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul, who now we know as Paul, who were studying his work in Ephesians. And as they were stoning him, Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against him. When he had said this, he fell asleep and he died. So, what did Stephen see as he gazed into heaven? Did he see his grandpa? Did he have this bird's eye view of himself being stoned? Did he have a vision of this mansion he was going to have? What did he see? Saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father. Guys, that is why we do what we do. Because Jesus is for real. Heaven is for real too, yes. But that's not why we do what we do. We serve Jesus. That's why a handful of us gather here together, even when we're tired and discouraged and ready to quit sometimes. That's why when we're in severe pain, we trust that God is still in control. Because Jesus is for real. If he's not for real, then we just need to pack up and go home. Because we're wasting our time. If Jesus is not for real, then all the atheists and all those people that say religion is baloney, they're right. Jesus is the crux of the issue for us as Christians. And if we don't accept him, we're doomed. Furthermore, if we don't tell a world that doesn't know about him, they're doomed. There are millions of missionaries, again in air quotes, all around the world right now telling people various ways to get to heaven because they believe heaven is for real. But they're not preaching Jesus. Well, they're not preaching the true Jesus. We have the answers. They're clearly spelled out from Genesis to Revelation. No more, no less. We need to be studying this Bible, our Bibles. And we need to be telling people about Jesus. Because He is for real. Can we see Him? No. Will we see Him? Yep. And one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He is for real. That's why we do what we do. That's why we press on. Even in the midst of trials and difficulties and tribulations and discouragement and just being plain worn out, we press on. Our closing song this morning is Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And it's quite the fitting song. And I don't even know who picked it out, but it was picked out long before this message was. Because I finished this message about 8:45 this morning. No one had any idea. I didn't have any idea that this song was going to tie in with the message. But I think it's a good closing song. Because that's what we're doing. That's why we do what we do. So, as we sing our closing song this morning, I had kind of had this idea that I would ask the congregation to stand and close your eyes and listen as it was sung. And I think I'm still going to do that. So if you would stand, and as Melissa and Craig are playing, I'm going to trust that you probably know the words to this song. I would ask you, God, you guys to close your eyes and consider that Jesus is real. That is, He is why we do what we do.
She knows it because she said, "Oh, we're playing that for." I said, "Really? Oh, wow." Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for your word, for your confirmation of your word, for the power of your word, Lord, and the way the word transformed our lives We just thank you, Father, for your mercy and your grace. And Lord, we pray that it would be the people, Lord God, that are alive and shining light on the hill, Lord God. That, Father, that I know when I go to work every morning, I look up and see that huge house, this multi-million-dollar home that is built in Hardy that sits on the top of the mountain, Lord. And every time I look at it, I think about that, about the light of God being on the hill, Lord. And Father, I just pray that we would be that light, Father, in this little church with just these few people, Lord. For I know, Lord, that you always did a great and mighty work, Lord God, just a few people, Lord. That you weren't interested in the masses, Lord, and the big armies, Lord God, though you had the big armies, Lord, that you were able to bring down big things, Lord, with little people, Lord, that had almighty faith. And I just thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us, Father, in Jesus' name.